All right, in Romans chapter 4, it says in verse 1, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." All right, so when we're talking about Abraham and talking about the faith it takes, Abraham was basically getting on up in years. In fact, let's see, I put it down in my notes here. Abraham was now 99 years old. Sarah was 90, and unable, both of them now unable to have children. And basically God told him now he's going to be a father of a multitude. Now this child is going to come through he and Sarah. Now, if that's not impossible, I don't know what is. In the natural. Okay? But what we're talking about is faith. And most of the church today has had the Thomas kind of faith. Let's just rehearse that just a moment. Let's put something right there and go back to John chapter 20. The Gospel of John chapter 20. This topic, as I'm unfolding it to you right now, my spirit is jumping. Because this is a favorite teaching, I believe, of the Holy Ghost. Look what it says here. Verse 19, "In the same day, at the evening, when the first, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Now, why were they glad? Why were they glad? Because they saw the Lord. But wait a minute. Just seeing him wasn't enough. What did he show them? What did he show them? He showed them his hands and his side. So what did they see? They saw evidence of what had he had gone through or what had happened to him. All right? Now, this is the Thomas kind of faith. This is the faith that believes when you feel better. Not the kind of faith that believes because God said you're better. It's the kind of faith that believes when you feel better. And if God allowed you to have that kind of faith, and that's the only kind of faith you had, the devil would put a ring in your nose and lead you all over town. Take my word for it. He would pull on you every trick there is in the book. Because he is God over the feeling realm. He can make folks feel stuff that's not even true. Got it? You are going into a time now, the Bible says that in Isaiah 60, that darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness. That means we're going further into things that are deceptive. Got it? So if there's any time you need to believe God, is right now. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to tonight? And there are things that God cannot do for you unless you believe him. Now I got to show you that too. Now I know you have something there at Romans 4. Now put something here, John's 20, because I'm going to flip back and flip back over there again. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew's gospel and chapter 9. See, I know the reason why you're here is because you have the potential for great faith. And the reason why people are listening to me is because you have the potential for great faith. You wouldn't be sitting up under me if you didn't have that potential. You'd get your hat and get your coat and make your way out of here. Now, this man is talking crazy. I got to get out of here. But this is part of my assignment. All right, look what it says here. Now, the statement that I made is there are things that God cannot do for you unless you believe. Look what it says here in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? What did they say? Yea, Lord. What does yea mean? It means yes, it's the affirmative. Verse 29, then touched he their eyes and said, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were what? Open. All right, but notice what I said. There are things that God cannot do for you unless you believe. So we had to ask him first, do you believe? I said, do you believe? Now, you cannot believe with your mind. Turn to Romans chapter 10 real quick now. Let that go. Romans chapter 10. I'm coming back to John chapter 20 in just a minute. Romans chapter 10. Let me know when you get there. Romans chapter 10. Come on, don't have all day. All right. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. For with the what? Heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the what? Mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation or deliverance or prosperity or whatever have you. Now what am I saying here? Turn back to John chapter 20. Which realm is more real? The spiritual realm. Which realm is more powerful? The spiritual realm. Your natural realm, I mean, you can lift up some pounds and move some things and so forth. But the spiritual realm can move a mountain. And my job is to get you off the flesh and into your spirit. Because when I do that, a new car, cash won't be a problem. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? Now, I just said new car, cash, because I don't know. You may not want a new car. Come on, you just may need a new man. No, I mean, not a new one, but I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it. Rasha terrible Honda. Okay. Okay, but anyway. Well, I told you about Dr. Cho and what the lady believed for. She wrote down the kind of person that she wanted to marry. And God delivered. I'm just saying that's why the enemy doesn't want you in faith. He doesn't want you in faith because every promise, everything that God has ordained for you to live, he planned for you to live like you're already in heaven, planned for you to live with no toil, every need met, your desires, whatever you think you desire when you pray, for you to have it. God planned on that. And this is God's plan for you. So faith is the vehicle by which you can get there. And you can't get there any other way. And what people have done is a counterfeit faith. That faith that says, I know my faith is working because I feel better. Well, that's not a sign. That's not necessarily a sign you feel better. Okay. I remember this man, he said he was casting out devils, and God, this one man cast the devil out of the man, and the man settled down, and then he stood there for a minute, and then the man spoke. This is what he said: "How do you know we all gone?" That's what he said. See, I'm just saying, do you follow what I'm saying? Part of this, the way you can tell they're all gone is through the Holy Ghost. It's through discernment, see? See, you got to get into another realm, but the only way you can get there is by faith. You must depart the realm of your senses, what you can hear, feel, and taste, and touch, and that you must depart that realm and get over in the other realm. Now, when you're over there, the flesh hates it. Because I can't feel it. That's why people put money in the bucket when it's offering time. And they watch the bucket go all the way down the aisle because they hate that they got to see it. You tell them, say, put the thing in there and believe God that he's going to bring it back multiplied. Well, I don't know. Where's the bucket? And yeah, well, you follow what I'm saying? That's what he demands, faith, and people are trying to get it without it. But it won't happen. He said, according to your what? Faith be it unto you. And you can't fake faith. Because if you do have faith, it will produce. If you don't, it didn't. How are we doing? We doing okay? Folks, think about it. If we got our eyes off this natural, how much of the body of Christ would come together? It's the only reason we're not coming together, because we're looking at each other. Well, I don't like you. Okay, that's not my lesson, but I'm just letting you know. Let's look at something. He said, and we left off here last time. I know I have here John chapter 20. And let me just read this last piece, and then we're going to go to Luke 18 and then to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look what it says here, and this is what happened. Look at me. And so Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas comes back after 8 days. He comes back. Here Jesus, he appears again. Now he's all these have traveled with him over the 3.5 years, and he's going to use them now, and they've been trained and so forth and so on. That's my wife. She faxed the thing, so let's give her a hand clap. She did it by faith. Okay, now. So Thomas now comes in, and they said, "Thomas, we've seen the Lord." He said, "I don't believe that. I wouldn't believe that unless I could put my finger in the holes in his hand, and my hand in his side. Unless I do that, I will not believe." Then Jesus shows up. So Thomas, now we have his name, they've nicknamed him Doubting Thomas. That's what they've nicknamed him. But it says, verse 26, after 8 days, again his disciples were within and Thomas with him. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Did you bring my folder with you?
Yes.
You did? Well, let me use that. That's the original. Praise God. I got a copy here. I need the original. Shunda. Okay. We might be here all night. Now, set the clock. Give me 3 hours on that clock. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. My wife. I'm getting ready for Saturday night. I'm getting ready for Sunday morning. You know, I'm in the study. And she comes in there and brings the hour tie check and so forth. And she comes in there to get it. And she, you know, I have to sign it and so forth. And we look down the list and see all the harvest that came in. And she gets all the stuff. And then I said, "Baby, you know, one." She said, "Well, sweetheart, I'm going to bed. I am going to." She know I'm about to preach. Well, I need about, now it's already 11 o'clock at night. I'm about to preach now. You give me a minute and I'll preach you right on back up in here. Oh boy. So I don't even try it anymore. You know, I just, but it bothers me because I got something I want to explode with, you know. I gave her a word the other day, though. She you know, my wife, she got hard to impress. And I gave her a word the other day. She said, now that's good. And this is what she said. You got any more? Yeah, I get you. All right. I got some stuff up in here. I got to go out of town and preach Thursday and Friday, and I was gathering up something. Boy, I'm telling you, God was loading me up there. But anyway, okay, so where were we? Praise God. All right, now let's go down, and so here's Thomas, and Jesus told him that in verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are they that have not seen or touched or heard, and yet they have what? They believed. They believed. Now, my point to you is that is the place where God wants the church. He wants us to get beyond our feelings. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, we cannot use our intellect, our emotions, our physical bodies to establish or substantiate anything that is promised to us of God. We must get it all by faith. We must believe. And believing, we said, is a choice. I choose to believe God. Now, once you say that, it's just like me taking a piece of bread and I eat it. And once I eat it, the system takes over. Got it? Once you say, I believe, now the system takes over. I believe, I receive. Now the system takes over. You got what I'm saying? And where does it take you? It takes you much beyond anything physical. Your physical body couldn't even begin to compare with what your spiritual body can do. Cannot even touch it. So he said to him, he said, because you have seen, you believe. But blessed are those that have not seen, and yet they believe. So the enemy wants to keep you in sense, knowledge, faith. In faith that you need just, you know, three more prophecies, three dogs barking a star-spangled banner outside of your window at midnight, or whatever. You need something to justify to your feelings that your faith is working. But suppose you had nothing. And I tell people all the time, I said, look at these lights, they're on. I said, now suppose you see a spark coming from these lights. And if you see a spark coming from these lights, what might that indicate? There's a shortage somewhere in the line, and this thing might spark and cause a fire. So notice, the more spark you get, the more obstruction to the power flow. You got what I'm saying? The more flesh you put in there, the more obstruction to the power flow. Because the spirit flows easy. It flows smooth. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. The only thing you're using is your mouth. Here's what your mouth says. I believe I received. Now you felt nothing. Now this is, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is excited about this. Because Jesus said something about it. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Are you with me? All right, Luke chapter 18, and this is about a situation where there was an unjust judge. Now, this unjust judge is the devil. I don't know what other things people try to make out of this, but it says in verse 3, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him and saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, that's the devil, yet because this widow woman troubleth me, this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he what? Bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them. How quickly? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find love on the earth? Shall he find unity on the earth? See, it's faith that he's looking for. Because without faith, you can't love some folk. You know that. You're going to have to love some folk by faith. Am I right? Now, what is the enemy's trick? Here's a temptation. His temptation is to get you back into the flesh. Because if he gets you back in the flesh, the power just got shorted out. Now you got no spiritual power working for you. Now you cannot defeat him because you're not in faith, so you can't fight the good fight of faith. Now you can't resist him because you got to resist him by faith, and you're just stuck. So what you got to do is stay in faith. All right, let's go another place. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. How we doing? Whatever situation you're in, faith will get you out of it. How? That came out of the Holy Ghost. Look what it says here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, so forth and so on, so on, so on. Verse 12. For now we see it through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as also I am known. And now abideth faith, come on, hope, and what? Charity or love. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Charity. That came out of verse 12. The greatest of these is love. No. He's talking about the greatest motivator. See, he knows that faith is a key thing for you to be able to operate. So some people say the greatest is love, so they put down faith. But I'm telling you, he's saying the greatest motivator is love. But after you get born again, the first thing you need to learn is how to use your faith. Yes, sir. Because that's the key that unlocks the door to every promise of God so that not only you can be blessed, but you can be a blessing. Now, we want to work it because faith does work how?
By love.
It works by love. You want to see your faith really soar, love, put some love with it. You'll see in the Bible the times that he said great faith, they were believing for somebody else. They were not believing for themselves. Because it works best by love. Are you with me? So now God wants us to live by faith. And that's what he says over in Habakkuk chapter 2. And he says it also in Galatians. He said it also in Hebrews. So let's go over there in Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, every time I teach this, faith is building inside of you. Let me know when you get to Hebrews chapter 10. All right, look what it says here, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of what? Patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. All right? Let me ask you the will of God. You ready? Whatsoever things I desire when I pray, believe I receive them and I shall have them. Is that the will of God?
Yes.
So right there, the will of God is telling me only believe. It didn't say feel. It didn't say understand. It said just believe.
Yes.
So if I do the will of God in terms of this promise, then now I have need of patience because I've done the will of God and I will receive the promise. I won't go back over that to Abraham because I want to keep rolling here. Look what it says here. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry, will not tarry. Now the just shall live how? By faith. But if any man what? Draw back, my soul shall have no what? Pleasure in him. So God expects you to have uncompromising faith. Don't compromise it. Nope, I believe God. I believe God. Now, let's look at this word, 38. The just shall live by faith. You got it? What is another word for just? The righteous ones. So the righteous ones shall live by faith. Notice what he's connecting. Righteousness to faith. All right, let's look and see here this whole idea of righteousness. Put some, just keep something right there. Now you were at Romans. You can let John go. You can let everything go but Romans chapter 4, okay? All right, let's come over to 1 Peter, please, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, not 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. Simon Peter, and servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Powerful verse. Now look what he just said. He said that have obtained like precious faith, the same kind Peter had, with us through the what? Righteousness of God. Now notice what he said, how he said he obtained that. Through the righteousness of God. All right, so you and I get born again. And once we get born again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, any man that's in Christ is a what? New creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. All right? On the board up there, please, put up 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 5 and verse 21. And here's what it says. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, when we say righteousness now, we're talking about, one, the nature of God. Righteousness is not the goody-goody way you act. It's the nature of God. And that nature comes in you once you get born again. Now, it doesn't come in your flesh. It comes in your spirit. It comes in the real you. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It's the ability to stand before God without a sense of condemnation, guilt, shame, or a sense of inferiority. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is God's ability taking possession of us. The righteousness of God. Now, so I'm saying that righteousness and faith are connected. Because the enemy wants, after I get born again, to keep me in condemnation. Because he knows that for me to get faith to flow, I've got to get the assurance of God that I'm right with him. Are you with me here? And so let's go to Isaiah chapter 32, please. Isaiah chapter 32. Let me know when you get there. Let me know when you get there. All right, watch this. Verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and what? That didn't say insurance. It said assurance forever. Assurance, another word for it is confidence. Hello? Got it? All right. Let's look at confidence work with righteousness. Let's go over to 1 John, please, in chapter 5. And let me know when you get to 1 John chapter 5. This is good stuff, folks. All right, look at 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 14. And this is the what? Confidence that we have where? In him, that if we ask what? Anything according to his will, what does he do? He hears us. Now, this is the confidence that I have. If I ask anything according to his will, he just heard me. And if we know, the next part of that, and if we know that he hear us or heard us, whatever we ask, we know we what? Have the petition that we desire of him. Is there any feeling in that?
No.
And what righteousness does is it allows you to move into the zone of not having to depend on your feelings for assurance. I'm going to say this one time now. You got to get it when I say it. You see, that's why people need other folk to do all their praying. Because they don't think God will hear them. But when you got born again, you got as righteous as Jesus. You got his nature. You got his same righteousness. Righteousness is how not how good you act. Righteousness is your nature. So when people have a sense of unrighteousness, they're always doubting whether God heard them because they don't feel like they're quite right before God. And here's what Jesus said at the graveside of Lazarus. Father, I thank you that you hear me all the time. Well, if you know you heard him all the time, then he answered. Say amen to that. Now, when you pray that prayer and now you got to stand, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Because I just prayed a prayer now I got to stand and I haven't seen anything, haven't felt anything. I haven't heard the three dogs barking, the Star Spangled Banner. I've nothing. Now, how am I going to stand here? I got to have an assurance that is beyond my natural ability. Okay. Is this making sense to you? I'm telling you why most of the church is not walking by faith is because most of the church is still walking in condemnation. We are still dealing with that sin we did 15 years ago. And it's down in the conscious mind, or subconscious. It's down in there, and the enemy knows it's in there, and every time you get to stand, you can't quite stand, have to give up. Because you got to stand one way. Turn to 1 Peter and look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse, glory to God. Are y'all with me? Oh, we gonna deal with the devil today. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may do what to you? Exalt you in due time, casting all your what? Care over on him, for he what? He cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may what? Devour, whom resist steadfast how? In faith. And when you are not having a sense of righteousness, faith doesn't flow. It'll hold up for a minute and then it is gone. And the next thing you know, the enemy, you got me again. Boy, I did that same sin again. I said I wasn't going to do that tonight. And I did that same thing again, see? And the root of that you think is faith, but it's not. The root of that is righteousness. He's still dealing with yesterday. Yesterday. But yesterday, your sins got washed away. Now, you got to understand now, your sins didn't just get put up over here where you don't have to be responsible anymore, meaning that God took care of them. It didn't just get put over here on the side. They got purged.
Yes.
You can't find them.
That's right.
You ever heard of the sea of forgetfulness?
Yes.
They're gone.
Yes.
They got purged. They don't exist. Not in this form. Now you got to hear what I'm saying. Look at David. When David came to the front line, he said, "Now what's going on?" Said, "Yo, what are y'all here? What's going on?" Well, that man Goliath. And they were all fearful. And David said, "Well, what am I going to get if I slay this guy?" And his brother Eliab said, "Now, what are you doing up here anyway?" He said, "You know, you have left them sheep. You left the sheep back there. They're unguarded, meaning that the wolves going to get them and everything." He accused him, didn't he? Satan is the what? Accuser of the brother. What is he trying to do? Bring condemnation on you. And this is the way people try to fight it. They try to fight it through the law. If I can just be holy enough. Well, see, pretty soon it'll make a mean. Because ain't no grace in it. Come on now. Oh, it'll take you some distance. But for you to go all the way, it's going to have to be by grace and truth. And watch it. They will criticize you in a minute. I'm telling you. Now, I'm not saying people don't step out of line and they need correcting. Get what I'm saying now. But I'm saying you got to understand because all have sinned. And come what? Short of the glory of God. How many of y'all heard that verse before? Everybody heard that verse. And in that chapter, that ain't even what he was talking about. But see, we've done that trying to get off the condemnation. But go over to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's see how we deal with condemnation. Come on now. Hello. The devil is alive. And I'm telling you right now, I could talk to you and teach you on righteousness, and I won't have to teach you hardly anything about faith, and your faith will start flowing like a flood. Why? Because your assurance will go up. That you and God hook together. See, all you got to do is see God as Father. Once you see Him as Father, you home free. Because you know Father going to take care of you. And Father knows best. Think about it. Brother's coming out of jail and so forth like that, man. The first thing you do, next thing you know, something happened, doo-doo, back in jail. Why? It's that whole thing. Can't find. Well, I said I wasn't going to do that. Boy, I'm going to rob that bank. Whatever have you. See, can't resist because the condemnation the enemy is heaping on them so they'll have no faith to resist. See, God knows that. See, so He's always going to try to get you some faith. So He said, boom, if you miss it, confess it. Watch this. 1 John 1:9. And He's faithful to forgive it. Watch this. He ain't not done. And cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come out. Remember, condemnation is a disease of the spirit, just like tuberculosis is a disease of your flesh or cancer. Remember that. It's a spiritual disease. And nowhere in the Bible does God condemn you. He convicts you.
Man.
Conviction always leaves faith intact. Make sense, see? Sure. Go on, then repeat the same stuff you said you weren't going to do. Because you can't stand in faith. And you can't stand in faith because you're still condemned. And you can tell folks that are condemned because they condemn other folk.
Amen.
They do not look at you and see the blessings on you. They do not look at you and say, girl, you look good. I'm telling you, you're going to go somewhere. And so forth and so on. Are you following? They have problems giving you a word of encouragement. Why? Because they're not encouraged. They're condemned. Condemned folk cannot encourage other folk. The only thing they can do is throw rocks at them. And here's what Jesus said. Any of you who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then the rest of y'all can throw. Hey, can't encourage people. Just condemn them. Looking for always somebody to put underfoot. So what? I can feel better about myself. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let us lift others up higher than ourselves. That's what love does. Condemnation is a wicked thing. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation. Is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. He said, I've hurt no man, I've offended no man. Now, this is the same man that was killing folks. What did he say? He didn't do it. And what do people like to do? They like to rehearse their failures. And just rehearse them. Tell everybody. You go to see somebody in the hospital. First thing they do, let me show you, girl, where they cut me. They cut me right back here. They cut me. They like you to see the wound. Feel it. Want you to feel it. Touch it. Feel it. Are you following what I'm saying? But that condemnation brings you down to inferiority. And now, sense of inferiority, now that's when the devil takes over. Because when a person is born again but doesn't understand righteousness and what it is, disease and Satan rule over him. So you got to take your righteousness by faith. God says I'm righteous. God has looked at me just like he looked at Gideon. What did he say to Gideon? Hello there, my mighty man of valor. Notice he didn't talk about how many hubcaps he stole. He didn't talk about whatever. Did he? I'm telling you, he looks at you through the blood. Say amen to this. And you got to take by faith how he looks at you and look at yourself the same way. Isn't this wonderful? All right, let me just show you this and show you one more scripture and we're out. Look what it says here. Where did I have you turn? Hebrews chapter 9. All right, look at this. Isn't this great? Now, first thing you do when you teach this, somebody says, oh, you're just giving these people a license to sin. They don't need no license. They don't need a license. Say amen to this. Do you realize that for people to come up from where they are, somebody is going to have to love them. Loving them means that somebody is going to have to tolerate something until their eyes get open. I know this is the right bunch I'm talking to today. What did I say? Once righteousness, a person is righteous and knows what righteousness means, faith will not only flow like a flood, but they become masters over their own destinies. The first thing, when they woke Jesus up, and they woke him up because the storm was coming and the boat was sinking, the disciples woke him up. What is the first thing they did to Jesus as they woke him up? They accused him of not caring about them. Here's the translation of it. Don't you care? We're about to die. Now, didn't he take care of them for 3 years? They never had to work, never had to hit a lick at a snake. Next thing you know, here's Jesus taking care of them and feeding all of them, feeding their families, you know, taking care of everything. And now they accuse him. And I'm saying some of the very people that you might try to help in the process of them being healed may accuse you. But that's when love takes over. It's the greatest motivator. And you've got to be willing to do that. Husbands, you've got to be willing to do that. Wives, you've got to be willing to do that. You've got two people coming who've been hurt. This one was hurting their family. This one was hurt by a gang or whatever have you. They coming together. Now, they supposed to come together to love one another, but ain't nobody got the love.
Teach it.
Two ticks and no dog.
Wow.
So what am I saying? And okay, so, all right. Let's look at this. All right. Okay. All right. Come on. Let's finish this. All right, look what it says. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for who? Us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works, everything that you did in your past, so that you can serve the what? Living God. What am I saying? With condemnation, you can't stand in faith. And the Bible says you got to stand. When you've done all that you can do, what do? Stand. Well, you can't stand if you're condemned. You cannot be totally free if you're condemned. So that means you can't free other people. So what am I saying? Condemnation The Bible says Abraham believed God. Last verse. Let me just show you this last one. Let's go to James chapter 5. Are you with me? This is powerful stuff, isn't it? Righteousness means the ability to stand before God or in his presence without a sense of guilt or shame, without a sense of condemnation or sense of sin or any inferiority. Righteousness. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective fervent prayer of the who? Of the righteous man availeth much. Watch this. Elijah was a man subject to like passions, just like we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Watch this. And then he prayed again. And the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. 1 Peter chapter 3, please. Next place. One page over. Verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Oh, yeah. Just not much you can do for God. Condemned. Feeling unrighteous. Oh, Lord, I'm so unworthy. Get that out of your mouth. God has made you the righteousness of Christ God in him. And you got to take it by faith. Give the Lord a praise. That's what we got. Now, this teaching tonight, you might want to remember. This is a key to you. This is the key that got me where I am. I can guarantee you it is. This is the key that makes it so I don't fear any man. This is the key that makes it so I'm not looking to build something for myself. Could care less. It's righteousness. It brings you into fellowship with God so that you and God now become one. You can just flow together. And as I was praying tonight what to bring, I was meditating it today, and this whole righteousness subject came into my heart. Now, if I'm right, I have at least one teaching out there on that. But if you're thinking that this is an area where you need to tighten up on, you might want to make plans at some point to get that teaching. It's powerful. You can't reign without righteousness. It's the key for you being seated with Jesus. And for you to receive revelation, you can't, oh Lord, I'm so unworthy. You won't get anything because he can't get it to you. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Watch this. Sin connects you with Satan. Righteousness connects you with God. Paul said, I understand. He had done all that stuff to those people hauling them off the jail. They were Christians, believers, Jewish believers. And this is what he said after he got born again. I have hurt no man. I have offended no man. He had to take it by faith. Don't you think the accuser of the brother was after him? Trying to make him feel bad? And if he could have made him feel bad, he would have cut off his ministry. Remember, initiative is tied to your sense of wholeness. You'll find you don't move out and suggest things and create things and come up with things because you always sensitive about a sense of inferiority, what people gonna say about me, and suppose I'm wrong, and so forth and so on like that. Get that out of your mind. God looks at you like the picture he has of you on his dresser. This is my child. That's the way he sees you. Now, he wants to keep seeing you like that and treat you like that by faith until you come up to that. Oh, he loves you, folks. You have no idea of the depth of love God has for you. God so loved the world that he gave all he had. He gave it all. Yeah, it's a powerful teaching. But if you get that sense of righteousness and get what righteousness is and start walking in it, you'll become a master. Nobody can stop you. And boy, they try to stop. Well, they're not going to sell that mall to a black man. Well. There was no sense of inferiority in me. You know, I went through that with them platform shoes. Let me tell you. Only thing I'm saying, as long as my wife loved me, amen. You love me, baby. Yeah. Okay. Pray to Lord. Okay. All right. If you're here and you need to be born again, I want to pray for you. You want to come into what I talked about tonight. I'm talking about you want it all. You're tired of where you are and say, hey, I want to make a brand new start. One of the reasons you came here and God brought you here was for this reason. I'm not asking you to join this church. You could do that if you'd like to tonight. But I'm asking you now to come into the family of God. And I want to be used to bring you in. Somebody did that for me years ago up on the north side of Chicago. I want to do it for you. So if you're here right now and you say, hey, that's me you're talking about. I need that new life. I need to start over again. I want to pray with you right now. And don't feel embarrassed.